Okay. How now, brown cow? Starting in 3, 2, 1. Everybody, welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Saboninger. Joining me this evening is Sam the Plaid Pirate Wendell. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Brian.
So hey, I don't know if you knew this, but TI7's going on.
What's that?
The International 2017 Dota 2 Championships.
Oh, seems good. Friend.
Yeah, seems good, man. Nice. So they're currently ongoing, so I have a low-quality stream going right now with Virtus Pro versus Team Liquid so as to not affect our call quality.
Well, oh, the call quality. I see. Yeah. That's very selfless of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, last time when we were called, my internet tanked. It's doing fine now, so.
Good.
So, Sam, a couple of questions. So, all we're going to talk about this episode, just to get it out of the way, we're just going to talk about TI and then take some Noobs Ask Noobs questions. And then we're going to get out of here because TI7 deserves our best.
Yeah, I'm sorry we have nobody there to do TI After Dark.
I know. I really want to. So to give you a brief kind of snapshot into how life is right now. So I'd like to get out to TI, right? Friend of the show and ex-co-host Yadneb keeps telling me to buy a Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
He's like, Brian, it's $300. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's $300. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. I've heard nothing. Seattle's expensive.
That's true. I've heard nothing but good things about the Switch.
Yeah, I'd like to own one, but just not now. So.
No, not right now. Yeah. No, that's okay. Are we going to do the thing where we chit-chat in the beginning of the show, or we're gonna get right into it?
We're just gonna get right into it. This is just okay. This is it.
Okay.
So how much of TI have you been watching, Sam?
I've been consuming a fair amount of TI. A good amount, I would say.
Okay. So for me, it's been working out pretty well because the matches start at, or I should say coverage starts at like 10 a.m. on the West Coast. So that means it starts at 1 p.m. our time. So,
yes.
Yeah. So it's pretty rare for me to be at the coffee shop later than 1. So I've been coming home and watching a ton of matches.
Nice.
And I haven't had to get up early to open the shop the next day. So like I was just up till 12:30 last night watching matches. It was great.
Wow. Yeah. You're up late.
So I've been consuming as much as I can.
Yeah.
And I've just been loving it. It's been so flippin' entertaining.
Yeah, it's an extremely exciting tournament. And really good Dota.
Yeah, speaking of really good Dota, what's going on with these Chinese teams? They are just wiping the floor with us this year.
They're great. They're awesome. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm to the point, and well, I guess this kind of happens every year. Like this kind of like West versus East thing kind of plays out.
Sure.
And I just get excited when some of the Chinese teams lose. Like I don't care who it is. I just get excited. But they're just not losing.
Like, no,
LGD got knocked down to the lower bracket, and they're just destroying the lower bracket.
Oh yeah, yeah, they look great. They look really strong.
So, it seems like I didn't get to watch a ton of Invictus play. Well, let me pull up the brackets here.
Neither did I, to be honest.
So Invictus got knocked down to the lower bracket. I didn't get to see them play against Team Liquid. But it seems like it's certainly the case with LGD and LFY that their play style is just, it's like pressure, pressure, pressure all the time. No stopping. They know the drafts that they pick. They know like the win condition, and they know how to exploit that, and they know, they just like know their timings, and they execute it perfectly. Like, what do you do against that?
Yeah, I think one thing I noticed, like, for example, newbie, they've had a good time, like you were saying, with the pressure, like Nightstalker. It's like the first night comes around, and they just make it productive every single time. They're like, yeah. The rotations are like super clean. They just like understand how strong their heroes are when, and they just make the best of it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I don't know what the hero statistics are right now.
Sure.
Last I heard was that all heroes -4 had been picked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was like Bane and then like 3 other heroes.
Sure.
But we have seen quite a bit of variation in hero picks. There's definitely some favorites that are starting to kind of surface their way to the top. It definitely seems like these initiators are kind of the name of the game right now. So like Nyx Assassin, Earthshaker.
Yeah, those Rubik. Two have been very highly contested for, you know, going back a little ways in the meta, I feel. They're really strong right now.
So it definitely seems like in this tournament that it is the tournament of the fourth position support.
Oh, yeah.
And in some ways, it's not even... it almost becomes a core in some ways, I think. Because you see, like, people picking, like, Earthshaker doing tons of damage, Nyx Assassin doing tons of damage, Rubik wiping the floor with people. You know?
Totally. Yeah. I feel like the four is not, I don't want to call them greedy, but like, I feel like in other patches, they didn't have as much impact as the game went on. Whereas yeah. Now that, like you're saying, they scale a little bit better, or they fulfill more of a purpose later in the game as well.
Yeah. And in patches past, the like when we were at TI5, it was kind of like the mid hero meta, you know. Like,
oh yeah,
it was all about what can you get done with your mid,
right?
Unless you're playing Bounty Hunter, and then if you're playing Bounty Hunter, it's just like, oh great. which I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more Bounty Hunter.
But well,
teams are yeah. really favoring initiators, so.
Yeah, I mean, who was I watching? Somebody made it work yesterday. Oh no, that's not true. Team Empire ran it and lost earlier today. So
it seems like it would be good. You just have to have initiation elsewhere. Because the vision that he provides is just really good. And we've seen Vision winning games, you know, through, and even like supports sure. just more or less knowingly running at the enemy to get a good ward off. Like, it's just been that important.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about like Matumba Man playing Lycan, and it seems like he really does a great job at microing his wolves and giving his team vision with him.
Yeah. We were talking about this before the show started, but, because we're watching Matumba on that hero right now. And yeah, they have him and Beastmaster on the same lineup. So they just have like all this invisible vision, which is cool. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. It's it's a bit of a vision draft, I guess.
It's it's a summons draft.
Yeah. So what has stood out for you so far at TI? Let's maybe start with Let's start with production. What have your impressions been so far with the production and presentation this year?
I've been super impressed. I think every year it gets more professional and cleaner, and they have more and better content, which is pretty incredible. I think it's pretty remarkable that they can up both the quantity and the quality of what they're doing.
It is a lot of content. Like, you never see them just cut to a splash screen or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's always something happening, which is impressive, because it's, in some cases, almost a 12-hour long stream every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know. Well, what do you think about the production? I have other thoughts, but I don't want to dominate the...
Oh, that's fine. Production has been really good. It seems like the augmented reality stuff has been kind of glitchy, or...
Sure.
Sometimes it's been going and sometimes it hasn't been. And I think that's kind of cool to see, like, the heroes standing in front of the booths and stuff. I've always enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Production has been fine. I've enjoyed Day 9 as a host. Reddit's kind of been crapping on him a little bit, but...
What's the criticism on Reddit, exactly?
It's a lot of, like, oh, hey, guys, that match was so awesome. And, you know, he says characters instead of heroes. Great, who cares?
Great.
And, you know, after every match, he's like, that was insane. You know, oh, I'll have to try that in my next match. I'm only a 2K player. And it's fine, guys. Just get over it. Like, he's doing a great job of keeping the conversation moving and, you know, leading the panel in discussion and... I think he's thoughtful, and I don't know. I've enjoyed him as a host. I don't necessarily want to see, I'd like to see Red Eye host again.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with switching it up.
I think, Reddit is like an extremely snarky place, and,
oh, to put it lightly.
And I think, yeah, like Day 9 has a lot of really great qualities that you want in a host. Like, the questions that he asks are really insightful and, like, really are trying to make the game more accessible for, like, your average player. So, like, yeah. That means it's, like, biased towards me, which I enjoy, and I like it. So, like, I have a hard time thinking that, like, everybody out there is some, like, you know, 5K player. So, like, all this is, you know, just so obvious to them. And that's simply just not the case, right? That's right. Just not how, like, the community likes to think of itself as, like, really well-informed and, like,
yeah,
really, like, you know, I don't know, a little bit holier than thou. But in actuality, like, you want to be making the game as accessible to as many people as possible. And right. I think he does a great job of that, of being like, hey, like, explain this draft, like, explain how this hero interacts with these other heroes.
Yeah.
And, like, it's what you want your panelists to do, like, set up your other panelists. That's great. That's perfect. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree. And I would even argue that people like you and I are, like, we're the majority of the people watching, you know?
Yeah, like, I think so.
We're Joe Sixpack watching TF.
Right. Know? Watching my sports ball.
Yeah. And I have noticed a bit of a tone shift with TI a little bit this year. And I feel like they're maybe less hellbent on, you know, hey, this is esports. We need validation and...
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is real stuff. And instead of that, they're just like, hey, this is esports. Like, this is who we are. You know, like, we put guys on the panel with a t-shirt and a suit jacket on. You know? And they're okay with maybe being a little more casual, a little more fun. And, you know, just letting esports be its own thing. And we don't need to be sniffing our own farts so much, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Because it's a game. It's a game. Right. It's a game. We're playing a game.
Yeah. And, yeah, something I thought was kind of interesting in terms of, like, the clothing and, like, the presentation was that, like, I think on, like, one of the early days, like, every member of the panel had, like, a nicely tailored suit.
They looked nice.
And they looked great. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then I saw a different panel, and it was, like, you know, like much more casual.
Yeah.
And
And
that's fine, too. I just thought it was funny that it wasn't... that it was different on each panel. It's like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. Like, you guys do whatever you want.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. There's definitely got to be somebody who's like, I doubt there's a wardrobe person, but there's definitely got to be somebody who's like, yes, you can wear that. No, you can't wear that. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to say, I want to talk about the panel is, how have you been enjoying the pros that they have on? So like today they had somebody from DC.
Bulba.
Yes. Like, do you enjoy when they have that person on, or does it depend on who it is? Or
for me, it depends on who it is. I think there are personalities who are more suited to be on the panel than others. I'm really glad PPD's been on the panel. He's got a lot of great insight.
Sure.
The dude kind of comes off as like super cocky a lot of times, or like maybe not.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally fine.
But he seems like a nice guy, if that makes sense. Like, it seems like behind the cocky, crusty layer, it seems like a pretty nice guy.
Maybe. Sure.
I'm not sure. I don't really know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Other people like PPD more than I do, and that's fine. He's not my type of dude, but I very much respect, like, what he's built and what he's done, because I think it goes a lot further than his own individual achievements.
I agree. And, you know, maybe he could just tone it down just a little bit. That's all I'm
saying. I mean, he's going to do him, and that's fine. That's fine. You know, that's okay. I don't have to be his friend.
Now, with that said, I think PPD's been great on the panel.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe
a great
panelist. Leave a little more breathing space for other people to talk.
Mm.
But that's my only criticism, and it's kind of a minor one. But I've enjoyed, like, Bulba was on. Dude is one of the best minds in Dota 2, in my opinion. Sumail was on earlier. Sumail had a lot of really great things to say.
Sure.
So when Sumail was on, I just wanted someone to ask him why he was wearing the airplane pillow for TI5. I just wanted someone to ask. I need answers. I want to know. I need answers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the people want. We want answers. That's what
people want.
I think in terms of having, like, pros on, so, like, Bulba, for example, I think that he had really great points, but I don't think that he is used to being on a panel.
Correct. Or, yeah.
So I think that will only get better.
Yeah.
But it was a little awkward at times.
Yeah.
Because, like, for a good panelist, you want to, like, make your point in, like, less than 10 seconds and, like, get out. But, you know, that takes time. That's not, like, an inherent skill.
I'm not good at that. Like, I'm very much so an external processor, than, like, a verbal processor. So
right.
I don't do well, like, just getting in and out, you know?
Sure. And that's why you have a long-form podcast.
Right. Absolutely. but yeah, I think it seems like they have a lot more pros on the panel this year, and they're changing it up quite a bit. And I think that's been, it's good. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So let's move on to, let's see, we talked about production. One final thing. So have you been watching, like, some of the exit interviews? So they interview, like, the winner and the loser. Have you been watching?
Oh yeah, let's talk about this, because I haven't, but I'm interested to hear what you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously the exit interview with the winner, great idea. That's not the controversy here. It seems like there's some controversy with interviewing the loser. And I've heard from other sports that that's a normal thing. Like that's just, just part of life.
Sure.
And I don't know where I stand. Last night I hastily tweeted after watching Balbo's exit interview that like, holy smokes, stop doing these or give these guys some time or something. And it's tough. Cause like, I think Balbo was like kind of upset. Like,
yeah,
he seemed pretty emotional and
right.
Part of me actually really likes that. And it's cool to see that because
right.
myself, I'm a pretty sensitive guy and I'd probably be in the same situation. But at the same time, like, you know how Twitch and Reddit is, like, holy smokes, like, just give this guy a little bit of privacy before, like,
yeah.
let him compose himself a little bit before, you know, before you shove a microphone in his face.
Yeah.
So after thinking about it, I don't know. What's your take?
So yeah, I'm kind of with you. I see both sides, right? So on the one hand, I can see the desire to capture that raw emotion and those feelings and that experience, right? I mean, we want to get, for better or for worse, we generally like getting as close as possible to the players right. and feeling what they feel and going through kind of what they're going through. So I get that. I get wanting to see their reactions. And on the other hand, we don't have to do it that way.
Right.
I don't think that, if the argument is, well, other sports do it that way, I think you need to find a better argument. Because that really has no bearing, right? Like esports is like in an earlier phase than the other large sports. And so that affords the opportunity to do things differently if we want to. So
especially because we've been paving our own way for so long now, you know?
Right.
And I felt like we kind of tried to conform a little bit to make ourselves marketable somehow to cable television, and now it's like, well, nobody cares about cable TV anyway.
Right. So if the argument is, well, like the NBA does it that way, well, the NBA does a lot of things, and we should take the best things from those sports and use them. And if we decide this isn't one of the best things, then we shouldn't use it. So I don't know. I get that. I think, I guess I would like to know, like, is it an option for players? Can we make it optional? Like,
yeah.
Are they being coerced into doing this, or is it part of like their obligation to the tournament? Like, you know, I don't know where we're at with all those things. So, you know, maybe we could give them privacy if they want privacy, or if they want to do an interview, they can do an interview.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes they don't necessarily have things that are particularly helpful or particularly interesting to say, you know, like, especially with some of these Chinese players, you know, it's a lot of, some of them are just so painful. You know, they just kind of say, well, I'm a professional. That's what I'm supposed to do. Oh, great. Thanks. And I don't know if that's the language barrier or what.
Right. That's fair. It's not something for everyone.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Hey, I've really been enjoying Jack's Corner.
Oh, I haven't watched any of it.
Oh, yeah. So he's the interpreter, right?
Yeah.
And they have him kind of come up. He's not on the panel, but it's like a sideshow on the panel. So if Purge is to your left, Jack's to your right.
Okay.
And he's on like every couple hours or whatever. And he kind of talks about, I guess, kind of what some of the culture is surrounding Dota 2 and China, and just how things are maybe a little different, or what some of them are thinking, or, you know, there's just a lot of things that are different for them than the Western team.
Yeah. No, that's like really cool insight that, you know, I don't know anything about.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some of the matches. Do you have any like standout matches or anything that you thought was particularly incredible?
So I think that there are better games, but this one's just fresh in my mind because I watched it today. Team Liquid versus Team Empire, in the lower bracket, the first game, Liquid picked a Brood and a Caudle and a Necro and a Beastmaster. So like their push and sustain once Caudle got his eggs during daytime was like, it was just game winning. And so I like the games where like the team has a plan going into the draft and it just like ends up working out for them.
Yeah.
How about you?
So this is actually a nice segment because I really enjoyed watching Team Liquid versus Team Secret yesterday. Particularly the series as a whole was just great because, you know, these kind of like mini metas in some way kind of form.
And, yeah.
So for game one, Team Liquid picked up Keeper of the Light, and they got Ursa and Bristle, Tusk, and Puck. And Ursa is one of, is it Mutumba Man? One of his best carries. Yeah, Mutumba Man.
Yeah.
One of his best carries. And Team Secret just killed it. They like straight up just killed it.
Yeah.
Mostly because it was almost single-handedly on the back of Puppy playing Spirit Breaker.
Mm.
He was just, honestly, it was kind of like watching a pub match. He was just in the laning stage, just like running from lane to lane, helping set up ganks and kills and stuff. And Team Liquid just had no follow-up and no, there was nothing they could do about it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dang impressive, and it was a lot of fun. And in game three, so this is the deciding match. It was the best of three. Game three, they picked up Keeper of the Light. Team Liquid did. They picked up Keeper of the Light, Necrophos, Witch Doctor, Legion Commander, and Troll Warlord. And again, Team Secret picked up Rubick and Spirit Breaker. And they picked up Nature's Prophet, Queen of Pain, and Luna. And things were looking pretty rough for Team Liquid, because kind of the same thing wound up happening. Team Secret was really far up in kills in the early game, and the only thing that Team Liquid had going for him was what's his face farming his face off on Troll Warlord.
Troll, yeah, Mutumba
Man. And no, you know what? Mutumba Man went mid on that one, which was interesting to watch. It was Anna playing Troll Warlord that match.
Okay.
Yeah, he went safe lane. But he just kept farming. And they had a team fight where they were able to turn it around, and that led to Caudle getting an Ag Scepter. And we were talking about it earlier, but the healing and sustain with Caudle heals with an Ag Scepter, completely bonkers. And then on top of that, they also had the heals from the Necrophos and the Witch Doctor and the Legion Commander.
Sure.
And they just did not have... They just couldn't keep up with the damage. Like, it's just crazy how much... They just, like, turned a page and it was like, oh, match is over. All right.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. I think Liquid really favor the Caudle. I'm just, like, looking at the list of games that they played, and they seem to pick it up quite frequently.
Yeah, they've picked it up three times, it looks like, so far.
Yeah. Well, just in the main yeah. part. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been really cool. Let's see. Our boys, Evil Geniuses, got knocked out by Team Empire.
Yeah.
0-2. And, you know, of course, Reddit's crapping on evil geniuses and all that stuff, and it's fine.
It's fine.
Empire was just the better team, you know?
Yeah.
They were just the better team. And I am really excited for Resolution. I'm actually really, really excited.
He has been having a great tournament. That fantastic. Guy,
I think he might be the best carry at the tournament. Maybe. I don't want to say that. Some of these guys on these Chinese teams are pretty freaking good, too.
Yes.
And I don't know any of their names. And that's okay. Because they all have crazy names. But at least as far as carries from the West go, I would say Resolution's probably the best. And it's a shame he's not on a team that's going to help him get further. But I do think this really puts him in a fantastic position for this upcoming season. And I think teams are going to be fighting over him.
Yeah, I think you're right. This coming season is going to be so much fun. I like that there's more structure for, you know, like the majors and the minors and stuff. It's going to be really cool.
Isn't that strange how we're kind of going to like a third party system, but it somehow feels more structured?
Yeah. Well, because it is more structured.
Yeah. It's strange. But I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good.
So let's see here. You know, I was hoping TNC would go a little further.
Yeah, they got 2-0'd twice.
Every match they played, they looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, OG beat them out. I'm kind of happy OG beat them. Like, I'm happy they got a little further this year.
Yeah.
But,
damn. I don't know. It was weird. I watched, so in the last game against OG, so it was like, you know, they were down 1-0, and then the second game is like, okay, you have to bust out, like, your best draft, right? And they picked a Shadow Demon and a Clockwork. They had this really weird draft with an Earth Spirit, and it was like a Shadow Demon Luna strat that, like, was big in, yeah, like, the earlier...
And they
had
OD, yeah.
And it was, like, big in, like, the earlier patches. So it was just, like, I don't know. It just didn't go well. I was kind of disappointed in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they certainly have a lot to be proud of.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I think they did really well for themselves. I was really hoping that Digital Chaos would knock out LGD Gaming. kind of like how Team Liquid knocked him out at TI3, and that was like a huge upset then,
right?
Because that was Bulba's team. Yeah, didn't happen. No.
Didn't happen.
LGD definitely should have won the series without question.
But, which one?
LGD versus Digital Chaos. But as a Digital Chaos fan, they looked pretty good.
Yeah.
They were doing okay. They were holding their own. I mean, they should have lost. LGD was clearly the better team. But I think they should have been proud of themselves.
Yeah. Well, they did well.
Yeah. All right. So let's do some predictions, and then let's maybe move on to some questions.
Predictions. Alrighty. Okay. All
right. So all right. Who do you think we'll see in the grand finals?
All right, so let's see.
I want to hear top three. That's what I want to hear.
Okay, so we've got in the upper bracket, we've got Newbie against LGD Forever Young.
Correct. Yes, you're right. Yep.
I'm very excited for that series. I think I'm going to pick Newbie. So I think Newbie is going to be top three.
Okay.
I think... Man, it's so hard. I think that because I feel like LGD, I feel like they'll beat whoever comes out of this lower bracket.
LFY or LGD?
Forever Young.
Yeah.
LFY. Sorry.
They're looking damn unstoppable.
I know.
It's insane.
Man, these are terrible predictions.
So you're saying LFY is going to walk away with everything. Is that what you're saying? They're going to win. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, let me give you my...
Go ahead, go ahead. You go ahead.
And
yes,
then
please.
You can regroup and figure it
great.
Out.
Great. I'm so flustered.
Okay. All right. Here's my prediction.
So, in third place, you have VP, Virtus. Yes. Pro.
In third place,
in
I
second
have... In second place, I have LGD Gaming.
For LGD Gaming. LGD okay, Gaming. Different than... okay.
Wait, no, that's not possible.
No.
Wait, no, that is. Is that possible?
No, it's not.
Okay, frick. Dang it, I don't know how any of this works. Okay.
Actually, no, it is possible. It is possible.
Okay.
So, LGD Gaming and VP are both in the lower bracket. So, they could both... They could both advance and be Final Fours. And then... yeah. So why don't we do Final Fours? How about that?
Yes. Okay. Real hard-hitting Final Fours here. I think it's going to be LGD, LFY, Newbie, and Virtus Pro Final Four.
Okay. Okay. I actually think Team Liquid is going to be VP.
Okay.
And
I would like to see that happen.
Yeah. And I guess I also think LGD Gaming is going to come out of the lower bracket. So Liquid and LGD Gaming out of the lower bracket. I think Newbie is going to beat LFY. But
ooh,
then...
Okay.
But then I think LFY is going to beat who... I think they're going to... Oh, no. I see. I was confused. I thought that LFY, if they got beat, I thought that they like could drop down to the lower bracket, but that's not how it works.
Well, they do. They're in the upper bracket finals. So if they lose now, they drop down to the lower bracket finals.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so then I think it's going to be, I think they'll beat whoever comes out of the lower bracket finals. And yeah. So then we'll have another Newbie LFY revenge match, a grudge match.
Grudge match.
In the grand finals, and it'll be great. It'll be hype.
The Chinese team that I'm rooting for is Newbie, mostly because they play a Western style of Dota.
What does that even mean?
Basically not quite as like super run at your face all the time.
Oh, well, you know me, Ryan.
Kind of playing more for mid-game.
I like the always forward mentality.
Always so, forward, never back.
I like the run at your face Dota.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fun Dota.
Well, you know, I think this has always been true in Dota, but something that's really been hit home for me is that the teams that, for the most part, who initiate in the teams that are driving the ship in the game are the ones that win.
Right.
And that's kind of a bit of like a John Madden kind of type
thing. Yeah, yeah, totally.
But even in the draft, like if you're reacting to your opponent, you lose. You know?
It's tough.
You gotta play your game.
Yeah.
You gotta grab the game by the cojones and tell it what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always forward, never back.
Grab it.
Yeah.
Grab it, baby. All right. Very All good. Right.
Let's do some questions. Do you have questions for us?
Oh, yeah, we got questions.
Okay, let me play the thing real quick.
Okay, holy here we shit! Go. If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is always prepare for war.
All right, what do you have for us?
All right, from Greg Scher. When I'm not playing on a team with friends, I usually avoid the stress of playing against real people, opting for bot practice instead.
Yeah.
Hey. With TI going on, I've needed to get real matches in so I can earn Slark balls. This has led me to be playing a lot of ability draft because it's so low stakes. Killing Axe with Culling Blade as Disruptor is very satisfying. T Do you have any particularly absurd ability draft combos that you've drafted or witnessed? This sounds like a good mode for you, Brian.
Ability draft?
Yeah.
I actually really hate ability draft.
Oh, okay.
Every time I've gone in, it's just been this, like... Well, to me, it's really overwhelming because there's an entirely different meta. You have to think on an entirely different, you know, mindset. And I would just rather dedicate that energy to figuring out what works in the actual game.
And okay.
It's just been this chaotic bullshit mess that has just been not fun for me.
Right. Okay.
It is more lighthearted. I'll definitely
it
say
is.
That.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You can't argue that.
Okay. So do you want me to carry this one?
I guess. I mean, what do you... Yeah.
Unless, because...
Well, what was the question portion?
The question is, do you have any particularly absurd ability to draft combos you've drafted or witnessed?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. Do you?
Yeah, so okay. I played an okay amount of ability draft before. Like, it kind of, not early in my Dota career, but like mid-game in my Dota career.
Yeah.
I was inspired by Purge, who like used to post a fair amount of ability draft videos and like explain what abilities are good.
Yeah.
My most successful ability draft, I haven't played for a while. I was a centaur and I had Gyrocopter's Rocket Barrage. So like when you get close, you like do a bunch of damage.
Okay.
And I had Bloodseeker's passive. So when the people got low, I got stronger and faster.
Okay.
And I do not remember the rest of my build, but the rest of my build does not matter because that's all I did was like get up really close to people and like use my passive. And I was like a little speed racer, but I was tanky. And so I just like, just from beginning to end, I dominated. And that was like the only time that's ever happened in ability draft.
Yeah, and that sounds fun if you're you, but it sounds not fun for the rest of us.
Okay, can I tell you another funny one that
yes.
I've seen?
Let's go.
So there was a person who got Ricky's invis, so constantly invis, and Terrorblade Sunder. They would just get intentionally low and then they eventually bought a Dagon, and so they just sneak up on you and Sunder and Dagon and you die.
Geez.
So stupid.
It's so clowny.
It's so clowny. But that's what ability draft is, you know?
Okay.
It's just clown show.
It is. It's total clown pants.
Clown pants.
Yeah.
Greg, the only thing I want to say is just don't be afraid. You know, like, other people are mean, but you can just mute them. And, like, you deserve to play the full game of Dota if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, just mute people. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. So, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Okay, from No Cop Zone.
No Cop Zone. That's a great name.
What do you think are the most classic hero/item pairings? So Anti-Mage with Battle Fury, Huskar with Armlet. What do you think are the heroes that are most defined by a particular item or item most defined by a single hero?
Hmm. In some ways, I think this is maybe a bit of a dangerous question because item builds are constantly changing. And my first thought was I immediately went towards Ag Scepter on Big Tree
Tiny.
Man. Tiny, yes. Or Stone.
That's
Man.
Where I went too.
Tiny. Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Because you see Tiny walking around with that thing and you're just like, ah. Oh.
He hasn't been picked yet, has he?
I don't think so.
He's really in a weird space right now.
Yeah.
That's
but
okay.
For a while, it was pretty normal to just not get Ag Scepter on him and
right.
kind of use him just as like a nuker and initiator.
Well, it was like a weird thing too, because there was like a time where you could build Silver Edge or like Shadow Blade on him. It was a weird build, but I remember seeing pros do it.
And it worked.
Yeah. Okay, but I'll give it. What other? I had one. Shoot. Oh no. Spectre Radiance. Is that a thing?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. What a pain in the butt that is.
Oh, another one. Diffusal on Fan and Lancer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say in patches past, Ag Scepter on Marana was like really iconic.
And yeah.
It became less and less mandatory for a while. And we've seen quite a bit of Marana play, and I don't think I've seen anyone get Ag Scepter on her.
It's been quite a bit of right click builds.
Yeah, which Who is knew? Weird to me, because her right click is fine. Like,
apparently it's good. Great. I don't know.
It's not great.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, have you seen this giant rabbit thing that you can get for? This giant rabbit mount?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, it's so stupid.
I'm looking it up.
It's
right
terrible.
Now.
I hate it so much. Let's see. Who was it on Twitter?
Oh, it's... What, you don't like it? It's
no, it's dumb.
Why? Sukumo the Moon Cloud.
Pablo Heislop on Twitter said it's about the cost of a Pudge Dragon Claw hook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's see. I want to get a current price check on this thing. As you know, Marana is my favorite hero.
She is.
And I'm a huge fan. Let's see here. Scrolling. And I, for a while, had, I think, almost every single item for her.
Wow.
And I think this Sekumo thing is one that I don't have. And then whatever the artifact thing was for her, or immortal for her was. Was there an immortal? There was something released for TI with her.
Wasn't yeah, there? Yeah. There was. Wasn't there that one that you wanted to get? Like a very rare
is a thing. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So this stupid rabbit thing, Sam.
Yes.
Starting price on this.
Yes.
I am not exaggerating. $630.27.
Isn't that more than you can have in your Steam wallet?
I think so. Because for a while it was 500, and maybe that's gone up or something.
Wait, why did I think there was like a limit on your Steam wallet? Didn't like Yadnam hit or Jared?
Ben did, because he got like a golden gravel maul for Earthshaker, and he wanted to sell it for, I forget what it was. He basically listed it at max price on Steam, which was like $400 or something crazy like that.
Right.
$600 for that thing, Sam. $600.
That's incredible.
That's over half of my mortgage payment.
That's dude, insane. That's I would only need $100 more for my mortgage payment.
It's crazy, man. Like, ugh. Yeah. I'm disgusted.
Well, hey, you know. Okay, last question here from our friend Cher Liberace,
aka why... Jim J. Bollock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jim. From Jim.
Friend of the why... show.
Friend of the show. Why is it... Oh, also, shouts to Jim. I looked at his fantasy score. He's very close to like the to being on the global leaderboard.
Oh, really?
He's very close. Like 100 off or so, which is great.
What's like the bottom of the global leaderboard?
Yeah, that's us.
Well, no. I mean, like, what's... Like, to be on the global leaderboard, like, so, what's the minimum?
Last I checked, and I could have this wrong, but last I checked... The global leaderboard started at like 2,300, and he was at like 2,200 or something.
Oh, nice. I think that's pretty prestigious, and clearly the guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, what a great mind. What a great fantasy mind. So, okay, he asks, why is it always anti-mage? To be more specific, when someone decides to last pick a carry in a pub, and they're always someone who can't farm a lick... It's always anti-mage. if they were to pick a Spectre, it would be better, because while Spectre doesn't do anything without farm, eventually you can drag the game long enough that Spectre will have enough farm just through passive gold gain and random CS with those six slots to be a monster. AM has to be ahead on items to be particularly useful, but last pick pub AMs are always behind an item or two, so they're just a high bounty melee creep. So, why do these people always pick AM?
I have a couple of thoughts.
Hit them.
I have a thought and a complaint.
Okay, ready.
First, the thought. So, I think you see people quote-unquote wrecking with AM in pro matches, and, you know, I've been destroyed by AMs in my own matches. So, naturally, you know, well, it worked for that guy, so I'm going to pick a hero. I'm going to pick the same hero, and hopefully it'll work for me. And
right.
You know, there's a learning curve to AM. You got to know what you're doing to play the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's maybe, that's my thought on that. But I think even more so, the bigger problem I have is, I think all pick is just stupid. I wish it was more drafting set up. Like, I wish it went more, like, back and forth.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Because that's how it was. Is that how it is in ranked now? Because for a while, I remember, or by a while, I mean like a week, they experimented with doing all pick where teams alternated picking. And
that's how it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
In ranked?
In both.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't played in a while. So there you go. Well, then never mind. I think, okay. I mean, at least you have a chance to, like, counterpick stuff or, you know, whatever.
I think, yeah, so I agree with
really?
You.
Really? You alternate now with picks?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's amazing. What a great change that is.
Yeah, it's good.
Ah. That's great. Okay, what are you going to say, Sam?
So I agree with you. I think, AM is, like, in the meta, quote-unquote. So, like, you see some pros run him, and so it's like, oh, they can do it. I can do it. Another thing is he has a really easy escape. So, you know, I think people, like, then overestimate how much they can do with him, like, how crazy they can go with him.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll just blink in here. It's like, well, your blink is a kind of long cooldown, so hold your horses there. You're pretty squishy. And then the third thing is, and maybe this doesn't matter, but I think it does. His attack animation and his character look cool, and I think that matters.
Yeah. And when he right clicks, it makes that cool, like, pew, pew.
Yep.
You know, I love that. I love that sound.
The mana burn sounds.
It's so satisfying.
Totally. So,
I think what you have to say makes a little bit more sense than what I have to say.
No. I think it's all part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only success that I've had with AM was when I had Diddy Mitch coaching me, and he was like, "Okay, do this. Now do this. Now do this. Send your illusions over here. Okay, now do this." And he'd go, "Go, go, 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 go." And he'd go, "You can't fight. You can't fight. You can't fight." It was great.
I remember I only got the pleasure of playing with him one time, and I think you were there, and he was playing Earthshaker, and this was when they just added the new ags for him. So he could, like, hop around like a bunny. And I remember streaming, and somebody just goes, "Man, those other guys really suck, but this Earthshaker's great."
That's great.
They weren't wrong, so, you know. But, yeah, that's what we got here.
My line is that I tell people, I never promised you I was good. You know, that's what I tell people.
Yeah, it's fair.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Okay. What you got going on, Sam?
This is it. Just TI and that is all.
Okay. Is there anything you want to tell the listening audience before we sign off?
No, they know where to find me online. And that's fine.
You know,
I'll try to stream a little bit more. I streamed today I think, like, one person watched. It was pretty good.
Hey, one's better than zero.
Yeah, man. Great content I'm delivering.
Great content. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at SaboneDota. I've been tweeting a lot from the We Like Dota Twitter account while I've been watching matches and stuff. So definitely follow that. Check us out on Reddit at welikedota.reddit.com. You can follow links to our Discord channel there, where you can sign up to link your Steam account to be eligible for giveaways. And we're going to do that right now. It's become a tradition to do giveaways live here on the podcast. So I'm giving BunnyBot the command. Congratulations to Adrian Beachard. You're a winner. Let's do another one. You're going to be given a hat at random. And you can also find out how to link your Steam account to BunnyBot and contribute to the prize pool for giveaways as well. So we always need hats for that. And the next one goes out to... BunnyBot's taking a while.
Beep boop, beep boop.
I think Alihu may have pulled the cord on BunnyBot.
No. Don't say that.
Let's try it again. Give. Okay. All right. Well, we're just doing the one for right now. I'm going to do the other two when BunnyBot catches up to the rest of us.
Fantastic. So,
folks, enjoy your hats.
Enjoy TI.
Enjoy TI. We'll be back here when the finals wrap up. So we'll see how we did with our butchered predictions, Sam.
We did great.
Okay. All right. Keep it on the flip-flop, Sam.
Stay out of trouble.
Bye-bye.